The other day, I was thinking about a class I took back in graduate school. We were reading some of the important works of Western religion. The final test, the only thing graded that semester, was an Oxford-style oral exam answering questions in private with three professors. One of them seemed especially keen on tripping me up. When it came his turn, he said, "Mr. Brown, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, 'I and my Father are one.' But in that same Gospel, Jesus also says, 'I can of mine own self do nothing.' So, why does Jesus say he is both God and not God?" Well, I wasn't sure that's what Jesus was actually saying, but that probably wasn't the right way to try to tackle that question in the moment. But then something else came to thought. Something I'd learned in attending a Christian Science Sunday school, so I started wondering whether this would suffice. I told him, "Well, the rays of the sun are one with the sun. It's the very expression of the sun's activity. But that ray of light isn't the whole sun, and without the sun it can do nothing, right?" The other two professors looked back at their partner at the end of the table, both of them smiling as if to say, "Your move, doctor." But he wasn't smiling. In fact, the look on his face made me think I'd said something very wrong. After a moment, he said in a very unacademic tone, "Where'd you get that from?" It broke the tension, and we all had a laugh, and the exam was over. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. I could tell you more about how the conversation continued after the exam, but let's save that for another time. I want to bring in our guest today, who's been thinking a lot about our oneness with God. Her name is Deb Packer. She's in the public healing practice of Christian Science, a Christian Science practitioner from Canberra, the capital city of Australia. G'day, Deb.
Good morning. Hello. I think it's not morning for you, sorry.
So nice to have you with us. Well, it's morning somewhere.
It is morning somewhere, yeah.
And apparently it's morning right where you are.
I do like that story. I'm glad you told that.
Yeah? Well, I'm wondering, how would you have answered that? Something similar or something different, do you think?
No, something very similar. Yeah, I often think of the other, I guess, similar analogy of a drop of water being one with the ocean.
Yeah. I know you haven't been thinking of it from that sort of academic or theological perspective, but in a deeper way, for sure. And I'm wondering if you can explain to us why in the here and now, you know, in everyday life, it's important to understand the relationship that Jesus had with God. Why is that important as you see it?
I think Jesus came and did a lot of healings, but he didn't talk a lot about healing. He talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven. And for me, the kingdom of heaven is not so much a place as a relationship. My relationship with God understood. And when you understand that, then all is well. That's when healing comes. When you recognize yourself as not a separate person to God, but God expressed as image. And the image is not ever a thing on its own. It always needs the original.
I wonder if you can say more about something. You said to understand ourselves not as a separate person from God, and I think that when some people hear that, the suggestion comes, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that you're God? Are you saying that you're one and the same? You've heard that sort of thing before.
Oh, yeah. Yep. For me, I think the analogy that I like best is using maths and numbers. We wouldn't know that maths existed except that we've got numbers. And every instance of a number is an example of maths. They're not the same thing, but numbers are how we know that maths exists. And there are an infinite number of numbers on the number line on each side of zero. And that's like God's infinite creativity, his infinite expression. And if one of those numbers was missing, You think if there was no number four, all of maths wouldn't work.
You'd
never get to five.
That's right.
It wouldn't work.
No.
Every single one of us is as important as every other one in expressing God. And so every one of us expresses that divine relationship, that science of being that connects us with God. Man, meaning all of us, is how we know God exists. Does that make sense?
It certainly does, but I think it's sometimes really important to stress something that we are saying but perhaps not saying the words, and that is that when we talk about God, we're talking about spirit itself, as Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, lays out in her textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She literally defines God as spirit. She has synonyms, as many listeners know, but spirit is one of them. And so when we are talking about our identity, which is what you're really talking about here, it seems to me, Deb, we're not talking about a physical identity.
Yeah.
We're talking about our spiritual identity. And I love how Christian Science encourages, well, it certainly encourages me to want to learn more about what that spiritual identity is.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. No, that came to me while I was talking and you were asking that question, that if we're thinking of God as an anthropomorphic type being out there, then being one with that is a difficult concept.
Yeah.
I love the idea of thinking of God as love. That comes straight from the Bible. And, you know, most of us know love really well. You know, we think of kindness and caring and generosity and loyalty and even politeness and respect, all those qualities that are love. But if I said to you, can you draw love? You couldn't do it, could you?
I'd draw you a pretty little heart, but that's not quite going to do it.
No. I asked my Sunday school students a few weeks back, can you draw love? Most of them went, no. And one guy said, I would draw a love heart.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's the symbol for love. But it's not love itself.
No, of course.
If I rubbed out that love heart, love is not touched. It's still there. It has no material form. But, oh, it's real. Isn't love what makes the world go round? I don't think we would survive on this planet if there were none of those love qualities.
How do you see this as something practical in our lives? You know, Mrs. Eddy really did emphasize healing, and she didn't want people who read her book to just be talking about the ideas. She thought it was really important to demonstrate those ideas in our everyday life. And I'm wondering if you perhaps could share an experience where you felt that oneness with God and you experienced healing.
The first one that comes to mind happened probably 35 years ago, but it has remained perfect. All of my life up until then, I suffered terribly from allergies. The weather could upset me, plants in the garden could upset me. The thing that worried me most was being near cats.
Mm.
I could be in a house for 10 minutes, and if a cat had been there, I was struggling to breathe, my eyes would run, I was just beside myself, not coping. And I loved cats, but I suffered all my life. And we had had prayerful help, but it didn't seem to work. In hindsight, as an adult, I can see why I hung on to this. I kind of owned this condition.
Mm.
I thought of it as part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I grew up, I stopped praying and I just managed it. Stayed away from cats. I wore face masks. My husband trimmed the bushes that upset me. And we managed it. But one time I was on a road trip with my girlfriend and my baby son, and we stopped off at my parents' place for a visit on the way home. And my mum lived about 3 hours away from where I lived, and we were to stay overnight. And when I went to go to bed that night, I realized that my mum was minding my sister's cat. Now, this cat, Poss, I loved him, but was one of those big fluffy cats that molted everywhere. And when I went to bed, there it was asleep on my pillow.
Oh, boy.
I just went, oh, no. No, you know, this was sort of like my worst case scenario with this cat on my pillow. But by now it's nearly midnight and everyone else is in bed and we're 3 hours from home. So I thought, make the most of it. But I was in bed like 2 minutes and I was pretty well incapacitated. And all I could think was, I've got to go home and get out of here. And I thought, well, I can't. And I went through all of this, I guess, self-recrimination. You know, I kept saying, oh, I must be an awful person or a sinner or something not to be healed of this, to have this infliction. Or I must be a really bad Christian Zionist because other Christian Zionists get healed of things. I had a whole list of all these sins that might be causing me to be like that. And over the top of that came this voice in my head. It wasn't an out loud voice, but it wasn't me talking to myself. It shut down that sort of chatter that was going on there. And it said, I am that I am.
Hmm.
Wow. You know, I'd read that in the Bible lots of times and thought, oh, yeah. But now I knew what it meant. Because I'd been making all those I am statements, and here was what I believed to be God saying, I am that I am, not you. And in that moment, I felt that closeness, like there wasn't God in me, there was just God expressed as me, and all was well. I felt so loved. His voice was really firm. It wasn't putting up with nonsense, but I felt loved and I fell asleep. And in the morning, I was fine. That was the end of that. I have never had an allergy to plants, weather, animals since. Recently, I lived with three cats. And I loved them.
Wow.
It just left because I felt that oneness with God. And that was really new to me. Like I had that point. Had kind of given up a bit on Christian Science. I still thought of myself as a Christian Scientist, but I can't say I prayed or studied or anything. You know, I'd been thinking, where to next? But in this moment of extremity, I understood. And after that, I thought, I need to be really more respectful of the way I use the word I.
Hmm.
Because if God is I, then I can't claim things that aren't God-like for myself.
Wow.
Yeah. And I guess that was my first inkling into that oneness. And since then, I've been working on it. It's a big topic. But that started me off with that glimmer of the understanding that I wasn't separate. And I turn to that a lot. If God doesn't have it, I don't have it.
It's a wonderful story, absolutely wonderful. And I'm so happy for you that you don't have to suffer with that silly belief of allergies. And yet, for a lot of people, it can really feel debilitating.
Oh, yeah.
And someone might be listening and saying, well, I have a friend who might be struggling with this. What can I do?
I don't pray specifically for people unless they ask me,
mm-hmm.
because I think that is an invasion of their mental space. But given that I am always responsible for my own thinking and what I believe, it's not good enough for me to believe that I am the image of God or close to God or one with God and other people aren't.
Hmm.
So I can pray generally. What I know for myself, I can know for mankind generally. I had an experience of this just the other day. Do you want to hear another one?
Absolutely.
I was down at the hardware shop and about to walk out, and a lady walks in who I used to work with. Now, I haven't done paid work for the Department of Education where I worked for about 18 years. So I hadn't seen her in ages. But we were friends, and she rushed up and gave me a hug. And I thought, oh, nice to see you. And in the two-minute conversation that we had, she told me that she had had 5 general anesthetics in the last 3 years and was about to have another one because she had this heart problem, and probably next week she'd get booked in for heart surgery. And I went, oh, wow. All of that in a two-minute, you know, haven't seen you for 18 years thing.
Yeah.
And while she's talking, outwardly, I'm being kind and empathetic, but inwardly, I am raging. This is not God's man, and I am only talking to God's man because there is none other. This is mortal thinking that says that we are subject to matter, and I'm not buying that. I don't care who tells it to me. And I just felt really calm in this, and the conversation was short, except that she really wanted to catch up for coffee. So I invited her around the next week for coffee. And part of my thinking says, you know, Deborah, you're going to be in for 2 hours of medical stories. And I thought, no, only God is going to be there because only God's man is there. Anyway, she came around and we had a really lovely afternoon. And there was no medical stories until the last 5 minutes. And she said, guess what? She said, I went to the heart surgeon yesterday to get booked in for my operation. And he looked at all the final tests and he said, there's absolutely no need for an operation. He said, it's not even postponed. It's just put off. She said, I don't have to have it.
Wow.
Can you see? What you think matters. I didn't pray for her specifically. I watched my own thinking and I did not allow myself to believe that there was anyone that was separate to God. We are all God's image.
What a wonderful friend you are, Deb.
Well, that was kind of exciting because afterwards I thought, oh, wow, look at that.
That's really, really wonderful. So we don't have to feel powerless when we're faced by these claims. In fact,
never.
We can consider this our call to action.
Absolutely. In fact, Mary Baker Eddy didn't approve of us praying only for ourselves. She said, God does not bless it. You pray for mankind. You deal with every situation that comes into your experience, knowing who man is, the evidence of God.
I like what you're saying here because it's not just a denial of what seems to be. It's not just a denial of the senses. It's an affirmative action that you're taking, and it's not passive at all. It's active. You are absolutely stating the truth about our relationship to God, and you have every justification, every right in the world. Indeed, you really have a duty and a responsibility to do that. And I hadn't really thought of it that clearly before. But now that you say it, it seems like maybe it's important that I heard this right now, Deb, that this is all part of that working out of things. You know, we're not an evangelical religion, and yet we have such an important responsibility to be healers and healers of the world, especially when others think that we're powerless or that, you know, that there's no way out. We know differently.
Yeah, and I think Christian Science teaches us that what we hold in thought as belief is evidenced in our experience. And so we're always responsible for our own thinking and therefore for our own experience. And if other people come into our experience who seem to have issues or challenges, then sometimes it's right to talk Christian Science to them or give them truths, but it's not necessary. If it is right, then you'll just find yourself doing it. God will put the words in your mouth because you are one with him. If the need is for words, then God will give them to you. You don't have to think them up. You don't think, what will I say? God just does it Can I tell you another story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't ask me. Are you kidding? Absolutely. You have the best stories, Debs. You go right ahead.
Okay. I've been practicing this. You know, I wake up each morning and I say, God, let me only see what you see. Because that's claiming my oneness. And I also say, let me be your shining. You know, let me shine out all of those qualities that are you. And then I am really living God. And this particular day, one of my girlfriends rang me and said, you know, will you have coffee down the mall? And I went, yeah. And we were down there in one of those cafes that spill out into the plaza. Do you have those?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
And anyway, it was late Sunday afternoon and people were wandering past us to the car park with their shopping and their trolleys. And my girlfriend's chatting away. And all of a sudden she goes, oh, that must have hurt. And she's looking over my left shoulder. So I look around to see what's caught her attention. And there's a woman lying on the ground, not making any attempt to get up.
Hmm.
Now, if I fall down in public, even if I've hurt myself, I bounce up and go, oh, good. No, she's lying there crying.
Oh.
Foot traffic's going around her on either side. No one's stopping. And a man that I presumed was her husband was hanging onto a full shopping trolley looking down at her, and he wasn't moving either. It was kind of like time stood still. And this really firm voice said to me, this one's yours, go to her.
Mm.
Well, I'm normally one to sit back and pray, but not get up physically and do stuff. But I obeyed, had no idea what I was going to do or say. But anyway, I went over to her and I bent down and said, how are you doing? She said, I've hurt my ankle so badly, I can't get up. And she was crying. And I don't think I said anything wise. I had this the most amazing sense that we were surrounded in love and all was well. This feeling came over me as I walked towards her. It was like warm and bright. And it was great. And I said, it's okay. And I pulled one of the cafe chairs over and I lifted her onto it, put another one under the leg she said was sore. I didn't even look at the leg, didn't think about it, but I wanted her to feel loved. And I wanted her to feel this great sense of warmth and love that I was feeling. I called it divine love. I was giving human love, but I was feeling divine love. Love with a capital letter that is God. And this human love is evidence of that divine love. And that's what kept me in that state of mind that said all is well. And in a minute she said, I might try to stand up. And she stood up and she went ashen and she fell down in tears. She said, I can't, it hurts too much. And then she started to panic. How am I ever going to get to the car park? And I never, even though she's still telling me it's really hurting, I never lost that sense that all was well. I patted her shoulder, said all was okay, all's okay. Anyway, in another minute, she said, I'll stand up again and see how I go. Well, she stands up, gets a big grin on her face, stumps her feet, says, look at me, I'm all good. Wanders off without a limp, with the man with the shopping trolley. I thought, don't we all want husbands like that? Do nothing. But anyway, they wandered off. And, I mean, it was all over in 5 minutes or less.
Goodness.
But I think we have to do two things. We have to be loving and we have to be ready to be divine love in action.
Wow.
Does that make sense? I don't know if I answered your question.
What question? You have the most wonderful stories. I hear a story like yours, and I'm so excited to demonstrate that truth too, because I know it's powerful. I've experienced in my own life. I hear stories like yours, and it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to have that sort of experience that you've had. And I feel like sometimes that's that next step, you know, for me, that I need to get over what seems to be a kind of insistence to fill in the silence with words somehow, you know? And I'm inspired by the fact that you're really leaning into that feeling more than anything else and waiting for that inspiration and expectant. That's the thing. Your attitude, your approach is one of expectancy, not of what am I supposed to do? It's expecting God to do the work. And it's that expectancy.
Yeah. See, the difference is the I.
Yeah, the I.
Yep. See, if I had thought I'm going to help that lady, Debbie, personal Debbie, then what could I do? You know, I can't fix brain dangles or whatever she'd done. Mm-hmm. But nothing's impossible to God.
The great I am.
And God never allowed that to happen.
Right.
The great I am. Yeah. Yep. Like Jesus said, I of mine own self can do nothing. It's always God that's the doer. Always. Never us. Mary Baker Eddy says to us in a number of places in Science and Health, you know, that spiritual growth is dependent on getting rid of a sense of separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of personal sense. And that's not easy. I mean, we all have a whole lot of beliefs about ourselves, don't we, that may or may not be true. And we have to peel those away and say, if it's not true of God, it's not true of me. Don't we often hear people say, oh, that's just how I am?
Yeah, right.
That's holding up spiritual growth.
In philosophy and in sort of what you learn in school, you know, you hear things like, you know, the highest form of knowledge is knowing thyself, you know, Cicero. And we just take these sorts of things for granted. It's not know yourself. It's know God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm pleased that you brought up that about knowing yourself. I mean, what is it? Page 571 of Science and Health. Mary Baker Eddy says, know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. That's what he did with the woman in the shops. But, see, I used to think know thyself meant know Debbie humanly.
Yeah.
You know, all my, you know, pluses and minuses and foibles.
Yeah.
No, know thyself means know that you are nothing more or less than the image of God. That's knowing yourself. And you were saying before about, you know, denials and affirmations. It's good to start with that denial, you know, of what's not true, that it wasn't true, that there was an accident at the shops and the woman was hurt. No, get rid of that, because that's sort of like the clutter of human thinking. And then you've got a clean slate for the affirmations of truth. And it's the affirmations that heal. When you state spiritual truths and you believe them and you have absolute confidence in them that you find your peace, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's knowing your relationship to God. That's when healing comes. Does that make sense?
You keep saying, does that make sense? You're making beautiful sense, Deb. That's absolutely wonderful.
I want you to follow me.
I'm following yeah. I'm eager to demonstrate this more, and I think a lot of our listeners are too. Deb, you've been awfully generous with your time and told us some wonderful stories. I hope you can join us again on Sentinel Watch real soon.
Oh, thank you, David. You're a joy to talk to. Thank you.
You're a joy to talk to. Deb Packer is a Christian Science practitioner from Canberra, Australia. Just a quick but important reminder that today, Monday, June 8th, is annual meeting day at the Mother Church in Boston. If you're not there in person, you can always join online. Either way, you'll find registration and more information at christianscience.com/annual meeting. Look forward to seeing you there. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Lisa Rennie Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. Until we talk again next time, good day.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.